Mark 8, verses 14 through 21. As we approach these verses, I'd like to take a moment to reconsider the events that led up to this point. In verses 1 through 8 of this chapter, Jesus takes 7 small loaves of bread and a few small fish, and he feeds 4,000 people. In verse 8, the disciples collect the leftovers, and they amount to 7 baskets full. That is, the leftovers fill 7 baskets large enough to hold a full grown man. In verses 11 and 12, Jesus is attacked by the Pharisees. They clearly proclaim their rejection of him and demand that he perform some miracle in the heavens above to prove to them that he is really the Messiah. But Jesus refuses to play their game, as we see in verse 13. He left them. He simply leaves them standing there while he and his men get into a boat and sail away. That brings us today to our text. In verse 14, Jesus and his disciples on a boat sailing across the Sea of Galilee. While they're crossing the lake, the disciples still have their minds on bread. They realize they have forgotten to bring along any bread for themselves. It says in verse 14 of Mark 8, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. They forgot to bring the bread. While they're crossing the lake, they still have bread on their minds. They realize that they've forgotten to bring along any bread for themselves. And you can just imagine their thoughts. Ah, brother, if we had 7 huge baskets full of bread back there, and we forgot to bring any with us. Christ just fed the 4,000. They had 7 baskets left over, and they forget to bring it, and now they're on the boat. Now we're hungry. We don't even have enough bread to feed one of us. From feeding 4,000 to 7 baskets full, here we are now with no bread. Of course, Jesus knows what they're thinking, and he uses their forgetfulness as an opportunity to teach them a few much-needed lessons. And I would like for us to eavesdrop on this conversation between Jesus and his men, because we need to hear what he has to say to them. I'm just guessing, but I would imagine that the disciples was pretty caught up in all this miracle business, all these miracles going on. I'd imagine that they thought that they were somebodies. Usually when there's a whole lot going on in the church, people start to think that they're somebodies. Hanging out with Jesus, getting in on all the amazing stuff that he was doing. I could just imagine the disciples, their heads were blowing up like a balloon. I'd imagine they're feeling kind of smug, having just witnessed Jesus put the Pharisees in their place. You could have just heard them telling Christ, that's it, tell those hypocrites, put them in their place. Christ puts the Pharisees in their place, and in these verses they're going to find out that they have some room to grow as well, as we all do. These verses speak to us today. There are times when we begin to think too highly of ourselves and our own walk with the Lord. When that is true, the Bible has a way of cutting us down to size. That's what these verses are designed to do. Let's observe the lessons the Lord teaches his men in these verses about their lack of faith and their failure to understand that his power in their midst. I want to take the Lord's words in verse 21 and preach a few messages on How is it that you do not understand? Look at verse 21 of Mark 8. So he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? We need this because we're just like the disciples. Sometimes we just don't get it. We just don't get it. How is it that you do not understand? Let us look at verse 15 of our text, Mark 8. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Jesus knew what the disciples were thinking about. When he perceives their thoughts, he uses the thought of bread to speak to their hearts. You thinking about bread? Okay, let me give you a teaching on bread. He warns them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Our Lord's explanation, our Lord's warning, I should say, needs an explanation. Leaven is another word for yeast. Yeast is added to dough to make it rise. Yeast is a bacterium that feeds on the dough, and these bacteria give off a gas that causes bread to rise. Yeast can be dormant for many months, and then at the first hint of moisture, it comes to life, and it begins its work. The yeast will completely fill the whole lump of dough. As I mentioned, the yeast feeds on the dough and produces gas, which causes the dough to ferment. Fermentation, as you may know, is the first step in decomposition. The only thing that can stop the leaven is extreme heat. And when yeast is exposed to the fire, it dies. Moisture, it increases. Fire, it dies. In the Bible, leaven is a picture of sin, evil, and wickedness. It's used as a picture of corruption. Believers are commanded to purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. Matter of fact, turn to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 and 7. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. We are to lay aside evil and spiritual corruption and live for the Lord. We're also warned that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The idea here is that a little sin is like yeast or leaven in our lives. When we tolerate sin in our lives, it'll soon infiltrate every part of our lives. So Jesus warns. He warns the disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. What is the leaven of the Pharisees? Matter of fact, I found a great commentary that may give me the answer. After just a few moments of research, I want to tell you about this commentary so that you can get one and use it for yourself. It's the greatest commentary on the Bible. It's the greatest commentary on the Bible ever written. And that commentary is the Bible. The leaven of the Pharisees is defined in Luke 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. There it is again, which is hypocrisy. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. The Pharisees were religious men, but their religion was external. It didn't change their hearts. They claimed to love the Lord, but they were nothing but religious fakes and phonies. When they infiltrated the lives of those around them, like yeast, they corrupted those lives as well. They corrupted those lives as well. Matthew 23:15 tells us this. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Once again, see, the leaven of the Pharisee. The hypocrites. The religious people are hypocrites. For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. See, sometimes people think, oh, well, because somebody witnesses, that really makes them holy. That really makes them special. Here's the Pharisees that the Lord calls hypocrites anytime. You travel land and sea to win one proselyte. Remember, this was a culture. There wasn't no jets, no planes, no social media. He's saying you cross land and sea to win one proselyte, one convert, lead one person. And when he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. That's pretty strong words from the master. You're making that person twice a son of hell. Pretty strong words from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is warning his disciples of the danger of having a hypocritical heart. And that's something that we all struggle with. These guys are in the boat. Christ just fed 4,000 plus. Has said, from a few loaves and a few fish, he feeds over 4,000 people. Has 7 baskets left over. And now here they are on a boat and they forgot the bread. Oh, what are we going to do now? And Christ is like, don't you understand this yet? And he says to every one of us, if you're saved for a few months or a few decades, don't you yet understand? Don't you understand with your hypocritical heart? We all struggle with it. Isn't it easy to get cold towards and distant yourself from God in your heart? Isn't it easy to pretend on the outside that all is well with the Lord? How many Lord's days have you gone to a church and it's, hallelujah, how are you? Oh, good, I'm good, hallelujah. And you're not good at all. And your life stinks. And rather than tell your brother or sister that, you play your game, you put the Kool-Aid face on, you act like everything is well with your soul. When masters are pretending that our hearts are masters are pretending that our hearts are right with the Lord. Jesus is warning us against hypocrisy in our hearts. We need to be sure that we are what we claim to be as we pass through this life. Beware of the leaven of hypocrisy. The leaven of the Pharisees, hypocrisy. Now, what is the leaven of Herod? Look at Matthew 16:6. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In Matthew's account of these same events, Jesus calls it the leaven of the Sadducees. Mark calls it the leaven of Herod, the Pharisees in Herod, and Matthew calls it the leaven of the Sadducees. The Pharisees were the religious conservatives of the day, while the Sadducees were the religious liberals. You basically had the Republicans and the Democrats. They were worldly and secular as they joined forces with King Herod. That was the Sadducees. They were the religious liberals. They were worldly, they were secular, they joined forces with King Herod in compromising with the Romans. These people, both the Sadducees and the followers of Herod, are often called Herodians. The leaven that infiltrated their lives and teaching was materialism, worldliness, and compromise with the world. You had the Pharisees, they were your hypocrites. They were the people that we know who God is. And in reality, Christ said, you study the scripture and you don't even know it. It's speaking about me. They thought they knew God, but they were religious hypocrites. And the Sadducees thought they knew God, but they was all wrapped up into materialism, worldliness, and compromise with this world. Jesus Christ is warning his men, don't get caught up in the quest for more of the world's goods or the world's favor. You're not supposed to be a friend of the world. James 4:4 tells us, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That was the Sadducees. They loved the world. They went into materialism, worldliness, and compromise. Is that you? Are you more concerned about materialism than Christ? Worldliness than Christ? Compromise with the world than Christ? Are you a hypocrite? You act one way on Sunday morning. You act one way around religious people. But you know your heart is very different than the way that you act around people. Very, very different. The Lord's will then and now is that his people be separate from the world. We're to live as strangers and pilgrims in this world. You can just see in the election that just took place. How many Christians are all wrapped up in this world? And I ain't excusing either party. We're strangers and pilgrims, brothers and sisters. We're just passing through here. This ain't our home. 1 Peter 2:11 tells us, beloved, I beg you. Here's Peter begging the brethren. I beg you, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims that you abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul. We're not to be partaking of this world's sins or being caught up in the desire for more of what this world has to offer. We're so caught up, and especially here in the West, of materialism and worldliness. Just how much can we go? How far can we go? How much? How far? How much compromise? How much materialism? How much? As I said, where were our father Abraham? He was a pilgrim. He was passing through. As far as sin is concerned, we're commanded to be a separate people. And it's just the opposite today. It's how close can we get to the world? But Bill, can I do this? Can I do that? And Bill, am I free to do this? And I'm free to, yes, all things are lawful for you. But all things are not profitable. All things are lawful to you, but are not profitable to you. Something may be lawful, but it doesn't mean that it's profitable. And today, the church is trying so much to be like the world, thinking that somehow that's going to win them to the Lord. There's no such thing. The Holy Spirit wins people to the Lord. He regenerates them, and he saves them. We're to be separate from the world. What does the scripture say? Look at 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians 2. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Therefore, come out from amongst them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. come out. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. As far as material things are concerned, we're to seek our treasure in heaven and not in this world. So many believers, they have all their hopes and their dreams in this world. They're all concerned about this world, their jobs, their career, their politics, their money, their IRAs. They're all wrapped up in this world. And the Lord is telling his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be into materialism and worldliness and compromise. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Christ is simply telling his people, regardless of the age in which they live, to beware of hypocrisy, materialism, worldliness, and compromise. He tells us that if we allow just a little of those things to exist in our lives, they will spread to every area of our life, just like yeast infiltrates an entire lump of dough. It spreads throughout. Christ has given a simple command to his people to be clean, to be holy, to be different, not to be hypocrites, not to be into materialism and compromise and worldliness. And the Lord hasn't changed his mind about this matter. The Lord doesn't say, oh, wow, it's 2016. I got to get with the program. I got to become more worldly. It doesn't work that way, brothers and sisters. The gospel doesn't change. God doesn't change. Christ doesn't change. The things of God doesn't change. He doesn't change with the times. He's immutable. He doesn't change. But to be separate, distinct, and not in the sense that we're Pharisees, that we're religious people, that we can't be near irreligious people. Because if that was true, well, who in the world are you going to be a light to? But to be around those in the world, around family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, we're to be around them, to be an influence in their lives. Not to partake in their sins, but to be an influence in their lives, to be different, to be separate, to be holy. That people say, well, what is it about you? Why is it that you're like this? What is different about you? Therefore, beware of the yeast. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Beware, brothers and sisters.